don't ever, for any reason, do anything to anyone for any reason ever.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Almost Weekly. Ethan Weiss here with you once again. No Nick this week. Before we get into it, you know what we got to do? Got to take care of the housekeeping first things first. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow Nick at Nick Zeraris. Follow the blog GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars, leave us a kind review. It's 11:21 Sunday evening, right after the game wraps. A couple things. One, we missed last week. We're sorry for that. Nick was traveling. My daughter gave me the plague. You could still probably hear it in my voice and my nose. So we just couldn't get a time that made sense to record an episode. But we're back after probably of all the Giants losses this season, the one that made me the angriest. I don't know about Weiss. I won't speak for Weiss.
That won't be the last time you make that statement, because it's the second time I've made that statement this year.
This is the first time that I've made that statement. And again, I'm a guy who sets the expectations real low. You know, I'm like Vince Vaughn in Dodgeball. And it's just, I'm still blown away by the ineptitude at the quarterback position and how he can still manage to just fucking railroad us like that. It's just it's mind blowing. All right. So before we get into the game specifically, Weiss, hello, yes. Friend. How are you?
I'm good, man. It's a great sports month.
It is a great sports month. So
I love it.
Your Yankees, my Mets, got yes. Football. We got.
Well, I'm also rooting for the Mets too.
Yeah, I know you do that. It's very annoying.
I don't hate the Mets.
That's I know. And that's fine. I don't care. Yeah. I fucking hate the Yankees. So
that's fine.
Yeah.
All right.
Again, it's like how we don't hate the Jets, but they probably hate us.
Yeah, I don't hate the Jets. You're right. Yeah. Anyways, this game. The way you describe Daniel Jones is not the way I'm going to describe Daniel Jones. I don't necessarily think he. I want to preface by saying this.
Yeah, be very careful with your words.
Yeah. Daniel Jones made mistakes. He didn't play well.
Daniel Jones is the reason they lost this game.
Daniel Jones's limitations as a quarterback is the reason they lost the game. Because
that is some word salad, my friend.
Here's the thing, unfortunately, for a lot of people is you have to be very specific when you talk about Daniel Jones right now, because it's. You know, you make a comment or you put out a tweet or you make a statement on a podcast, whatever. It's very easily misconstrued on a week to week basis. Like every week, last week against Seattle, Daniel Jones played well. They won the game. There's other reasons why they won the game, but they won the game. This week, the limitations were shown again, and they were shown because for a quarterback that is that limited, like Daniel Jones is, when the environment around him isn't perfect, last week they were able to run the ball. Last week they were able to, you know, capitalize on the play action. The Cincinnati defense game plan was a lot better than Seattle's last week. But the limitations are the same on a week-to-week basis, Ethan. This is not a situation where he's necessarily playing differently. It's just that the first read is making an extra guy miss and picking up 10 to 15 yards. This is the same Daniel Jones. The difference is the stuff around him, the results are different, but he is a limited quarterback. And right now I was watching the game with somebody and I told them Brian Daboll is basically playing quarterback for the Giants.
Correct.
Brian Daboll calls a play. Brian Daboll says who the first read is. The ball goes to the first read, regardless what's going on around him, regardless if you're setting up that receiver to take a monster hit, regardless what down it is and what yardage you have to get. These are the limitations that the Giants are playing with, and it's showing, and it is clear. And when you're getting the right result, it looks fine. You're winning, right? But when you're not,
but it doesn't ever look good. It doesn't ever look good. That's the thing.
Right, the result is good.
The result is good. Yeah. But that's the thing. When you look at the games like against Cleveland, against Seattle, Like, Daniel Jones didn't play good football. He was just good enough. That's what they need him to be. In order, like, that's how good of a coach Brian Daboll is and how well this defense is playing. In order for the New York Giants to win games, they need, I don't even want to say they need him to be mediocre. Like, they need him to be, like, I don't know. Would you say that below average is a synonym for mediocre? Like, whatever a step down from that is, that's all they fucking need. Like, Tyrod Taylor has this team 500 or higher right now. Like, that, I think that's just a fact. Like, if you look at the two things that Daniel Jones cannot do and cannot execute, one is the deep ball, which Tyrod Taylor can do. The other one is improvising, and I'll couple that with going beyond his first read, something that Tyrod Taylor can do. Like, this isn't rocket science. We just need him to be, to call it a game manager is insulting to game managers. Whatever a step below that is, that's what we fucking need from this guy, and he can't do it. He can't do it. And you got people rooting for the fucking deli manager last year. They're out of contention for a quarterback. Jaden Daniels looks incredible. Caleb Williams looks incredible. Drake made his debut today. He looked pretty damn good for what he's surrounded with on that Patriots team. And now,
shout out to the people that said that Drake May would die beyond the Patriots.
Bro, the first question that we got for the questions tonight was Cam Ward question mark. I want to walk off the GW bridge. The entire focal point of this season for me, and I'm sure it is for Joe Shane, and I'm sure it is for Brian Daboll, is to show that despite the quarterback, that the roster is good enough that if a quarterback becomes disgruntled, and if a quarterback wants out, God, I don't know, you know, besides Dak, if any of them are projected to hit free agency, if any of them hit free agency and they don't want to resign.
Dak already got paid.
No. I'm aware of that. I vividly remember standing in the MetLife parking lot when I got that push notification. I'm just saying, I am unaware if there are any other quarterbacks who are pending free agents.
No, there aren't, but there's a guy that could get disgruntled that the Giants played today.
Yeah, understood, especially after Brian Burns just cut him in half at the end of the game. But again, I can't even speak right now.
It's a very limited quarterback.
We're talking about a team whose defense is so bad that the offense routinely has to put up 30 points a game to keep them competitive. We're talking about Jamar Chase. We're talking about T. Higgins. We're talking about Joe Burrow. And you scrap the Chase Brown garbage time touchdown. The defense, which is missing Kayvon Thibodeau, which has a secondary whose average age is old enough to be in nursery school right now, to hold that offense to 10 points and get that performance out of your quarterback and your offense, that is insulting. That is insulting beyond belief. And this is a travesty. I still think that the team is good enough and the coaching is good enough that they're going to pick up some games here and there. They'll get to 7 or 8 wins. Like, I still stand by my prediction, but they are still in these games that preseason I didn't expect them to be involved in. I didn't expect them to win because obviously the landscape of the NFL changes starting with week one, right? No one expected the Vikings to be this good. No one expected the Commanders to be this good. But again, like, they're in these games and they just can't finish for one reason or the other. And most of the time that reason is the quarterback. It is infuriating.
Yeah. The thing that's frustrating the most for me, Ethan, is because, and I truly mean this, I see a very good roster.
Dude, me too. Like, dude, this draft class is so good. I mean, you got Andrew Thomas out there playing with like half a leg and still they're able to execute the defense. Drew Phillips, Tyler Newbin, Banks is, I don't want to say he's a stud, but like, he's good. He's good. He's perfectly capable.
He's holding his own. I mean, he's holding his own, dude. By the way, the game plan today on defense was great.
Excellent. Put Banks on Higgins and then double Jamar Chase, dude. That's what Bill Belichick was talking about with,
right. That was what he would do. Belichick. Yes.
That's what Dable comes from the tree. But right. it's he said that he would do that with Revis.
Right. Right? I think any great wide receiver, he would double that receiver with his cornerback 2 and 3.
And then put
his best corner on the other side, whether it was Ty Law or Darrell Revis in this instance. But Yeah, man. I mean, listen, if I would have told you before the game, everyone's talking about, hey, the Giants better be able to score points. You know, this is a high powered offense. And, you know, I'm not saying people were wrong from coming to that conclusion, but.
Dude, I was wrong. I thought the game script was going to be basically like the Bengals are going to score at will, yeah. But their defense is so bad. The Giants are just going to be able to death by a thousand paper cuts, just dink and dunk their way down the field. And all they need to do is make one or two stops and you're going to be able to win the game.
I was sort of similar. I thought they would have to control the clock game on the time of possession and then, you know, limit the amount of possessions the Bengals get. But the Bengals got the ball and the Giants were getting stops. They forced a turnover. They were doing everything that you need to do. And that's what frustrates me the most. That's why I was hot watching that game, is because I look at this team and I'm like, specifically this defense, I'm like, this. You know, this defense is doing everything you need to do. This is I don't want to call it a championship level defense because it's week six and you don't want to put labels like that. But like this is a defense that can win you a lot of games. And
I don't know if it's just championship caliber. I would define them as scrappy. Like they definitely have front seven talent. But like if you were to put up like this defense against the 49ers for a full game, I don't know how they're going to fare.
Well, here's the thing, Ethan. They're doing everything that you want from a championship caliber defense, right? They can rush the passer. They know how to take away your opposing best players, or not necessarily take them away, but make him marginalize his impact, right? Ja'Marr Chase was going to make catches, you know.
Yeah, that's Justin fine. Jefferson was all I'm catch. Saying is that Kyle Shanahan runs for 200 yards against this defense.
Maybe. I mean, maybe, but
again, I think I don't know. I think we're
that's one person. But I think from an overall standpoint, this defense
I just
plays
think
well
championship
enough.
Caliber is a stretch. I think they're good. And I think like they're way better than I thought they would be.
I think today, you know, this was statistically the best quarterback in football and they did a great job on him. And that's where the frustration comes in. But going back to the quarterback, I really want people to understand. I didn't see a difference between last week and this week with Daniel Jones. What I just saw was a better environment around him. And they were able, what I mean by that is not, hey, the offensive line was better, so Daniel Jones was making better throws. No, the throws, the plays, the game plan was exactly the same. It was always the first read. It was always get the ball to the first read. But you know what the difference was? The difference was the results. The Bengals did a good job defensively with that cover two shell and everything underneath, and the Giants couldn't take advantage over the top. But this is the situation that's facing the Giants right now. Ryan Daboll is essentially playing quarterback for the Giants. They're very limited. And there was a couple moments towards the end of that game, and maybe I'm just, you know, reaching, but defensive players on that sideline kind of, you know, they looked incredibly frustrated. Like
I would be too, dude.
They showed Dexter Lawrence, and he's like,
it's like the Jets last year, man. It's like the Jets. It's similar Zach Wilson.
And then they showed Brian Burns, and I don't know who Brian Burns was talking to, but I was trying to go back and find that clip to kind of tweet it, but you read his lips and he said it's the same thing. Now I don't know what he's talking about. I don't know what's that a reference to, but
you can make an educated guess.
I've seen this movie before, right? Yeah, with defenses getting frustrated at the offense, specifically the quarterback or the play caller, or whatever. The more this defense continues to play this good and hold teams, and the offense continues to 7 points, you know, no touchdowns, 4 field goals, it's going to hurt.
I saw someone tweeted before the game when people were talking about Daniel Jones' primetime stats. Daniel Jones just doesn't work in the dark. Like he just doesn't function in the dark. You know, it's funny. So like Will and I have this joke where we say his girlfriend and my wife, they're both solar powered. I think most women are like this. Like anytime it's like sunny and it's nice out, especially like in the spring and the fall when it's not summertime, like, you know, everyone's generally in a better mood. So we say like our significant others are solar powered. I think Daniel Jones is solar powered. The man is incapable of playing in prime time.
I don't know what it is at this point. He can't play well at home prime time. I just think, you know, typically when the Giants are in prime time, they're playing teams that are, you know, good or at least good on paper. Solving that 1-14 thing, at the end of the day, Russell Wilson calls himself Mr. Unlimited. Well, the Giants have Mr. limited. He is
Mr. Limited. Yeah,
he is a limited quarterback. And
speaking of, dude, I've had like at least too many people ask me about trading for Russell Wilson. It's like, no, the guy didn't want to come here in the first place.
Yeah, I the Giants are fixing their quarterback problem.
Not this year.
Yeah, I don't.
They might not fix it next year.
Yeah, that's true too. This is where they are, and 2-4. This is a little bit of a tough stretch looking at their schedule. Obviously, they got Philadelphia coming, but
yeah, dude, Eagles suck. I guess that's the painful part.
It's going to be the same.
The Cowboys suck. They should have beaten the Cowboys. The Eagles suck.
It's going to be the same thing, I think.
No, thankfully, this is a 1 o'clock game.
Yeah, but I'm saying the way the game is going to be played is pretty much the same, right?
You never know, dude. If he's solar powered, he might come out and put up 230 yards, two touchdowns.
I doubt it. I mean, you look at their schedule, man. It's they got the Eagles, then at the Steelers, the Commanders before a trip to Germany against the Panthers. So
it's going to be.
You find
never mind. I'm not going to say it.
But, talk about this draft class, man.
I don't necessarily want to focus on the draft class. Just I want to get the negative out of the way. I'm done with Jalen Hyatt. He gave up on that deep route. He's late in the game. He's complaining about non-existent pass interference calls where he's the one making most of the contact. Guy's a zero. The Cowboys knew exactly what they were talking about in that clip when he's at his pro day or his combine, whatever the fuck it was, where they're just like, oh yeah, like all you do is run go routes. And he goes, oh really, watch this. And then runs like the two crappiest routes I've ever seen. The guy's a zero. He's done. He's got a terrible attitude. He's not a good football player. I understand that part of the problem is that Daniel Jones can't execute a single throw beyond 20 yards. Exactly. That's part of the problem. Like if you're a good receiver, you should be able to do things other than just run straight down the field. So yeah. I'm done with him.
The famous Russell Westbrook. Quote, right now I'm just running around.
I'm just getting cardio. Yeah.
Yeah.
Getting a workout in, whatever it was. Tyrone Tracy Jr. is an absolute pleasure to watch week in and week out. I find it very hard to believe that when Devin Singletary is healthy, that Tyrone Tracy is going to maintain the RB1 role. But I also don't think that Devin Singletary is going to steal back the RB1 role.
I think the best way to describe the running back situation going forward should be that, okay, you have a two-headed monster.
Yeah.
But the RB1 in this two-headed monster should be Tyrone Tracy.
It should be, but I don't think it's going to be. Well, I think by the end of the season, I definitely think that could be the case. And I'm hoping that that's the case because I think he's a very, very good player. He's a fun player to watch. I think he's a better pass catcher. The fact that the Giants can now successfully execute screen passes, I think bodes very well for Tyrone Tracy's usage going forward. I'm over the moon about him. I mean, for fifth round pick, I mean, this is what you dream about. You know, you let Saquon go. You spend a fifth round pick on a converted wide receiver, you know, like it's sort of like, yeah. So really, really happy for him. And the guy doesn't dance. He hits the hole. He hits it hard. He averages, you know,
there was an interesting comp up for him that I want to. David Johnson.
You saw the David Johnson one on Twitter. I liken him to a better Antonio. Was it Antonio Gibson? Better Antonio Gibson.
I think he's a better runner, though.
That's what I'm saying. I think he's a better. You know, I think he's got the receiving skills of Gibson, but he's a better runner for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he's a better Gibson, but I like David
very
Johnson.
Very much a slasher. You like the way he hits the hole.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, listen. You were to ask me, before the season started, right? Like, hey, man, so if the Giants are going to win games this year, right? Let's put the table the quarterback. We know what he is. What are the things that they need, right? Well, I said, okay, well, the money they spent on their D-line, their D-line better be dominating games, and I think they've been very, very good. I said player development. They need young players to, be better. I think the young players have been better. Deontay Banks has been better. Even Cordell Flott has been better than what we've seen. And then the rookie class, right? Like, they are getting contributions. Like a lot of times in years past with the Giants, their rookie class would sort of, a lot of those young players would just be thrusted into the game, whether it's a tackle, a guard, or a corner. And we'd see right off the bat that this player either is not ready or not good enough to play. But I think all these guys have earned the right to play. I think even Theo Johnson, they're not getting a lot of the tight end position, but he's earned the right to play. Yeah, I think he's earned the right to play. Obviously, Tyrone Tracy, we just talked about him. We know what Malik Nabers is, but Drew Phillips is a physical guy. He's a He's sort of a guy that sets the tone of your defense. And as he's a defensive back, but he almost plays like a linebacker. He hits like a linebacker. Injured.
He's like a Landon Collins kind of.
So they're getting all these things that they need to get to sort of give themselves a chance to win. Unfortunately, they aren't getting the results. And that's what's sort of the frustrating part about this.
Anyone else on the offensive side of the ball? The highlight? Probably not. It's really Tyrone Tracy.
Yeah.
Defensive side of the ball. I mean,
this was the game that Brian Burns, like, if they would have won, we'd be talking a lot more about Brian Burns. But this was
100%
alpha pass rusher game.
This was the Brian Burns game. I think, yeah. Like, you know how many times we've spoken about this where I've dreamed about going into like a primetime game and having the commentators just slobber over one of our linebackers. Like, I really wanted that to be like Bobby O and Micah McFadden. Yeah. But you turn on the broadcast today, and obviously that player is going to be Dexter Lawrence, and obviously very happy about that. Dominant guy. I think he's going to win Defensive Player of the Year. I think he should win Defensive Player of the Year, especially now that Aiden Hutchinson went, T's and P's to him for his injury. But now that he's out, I think Dex has like a very clear path to Defensive Player of the Year if he keeps his sack totals up. So I'm glad he got one tonight, but this was the Brian Burns game. Absolutely dominating performance. This was also the Azeez Ojulari game.
Yes. I incredibly happy the Giants kept Azeez Ojulari. I know a lot of people were like, trade him, kind of like what happened with BJ Hill, right? Where it's like you trade BJ Hill. I've been saying this for a couple of years now, man. You need that third edge rusher. And I think Azeez is a really good player, man. When he's healthy, he can contribute. He fills up the stat sheet. It was great today. I think his Dexter Lawrence said during the week, there's no real drop off between Kayvon and Azeez. I don't think that's a swipe.
Oh, he said that?
Yeah, I don't think that's a swipe. I think he's talking about how
because that's what Azeez I said.
Can, yeah, I think he can be like he. If Azeez can stay healthy, he can fill up a stat sheet, and especially when he's playing opposite a guy like Brian Burns, and then obviously Dex in the middle.
Is that he ever able to stay and healthy for this stretch? Like, there's no debating that he's a talented pass rusher. Like, I think if you were to just compare the raw pass rushing ability of Kayvon and Azeez, Azeez is the better pass rusher. Like,
Azeez has a
pure pass rusher.
Yeah.
Like, if you were to put both, yes, 100%, dude, and like. I the entire time, like, people were like almost eulogizing Kayvon. It's like, I don't think the drop off is going to be that bad. The issue then becomes what happens if Azeez can't hold up, right? And then what do you do after that? Because you can't be running out Boogie Basham opposite, right, Brian Burns and expect to have success.
They ran out of player today that I had to Google. I didn't know he was on the team. Patrick Johnson, I think. Ooh. His name was Patrick Johnson, 57.
Oh.
Seeing
it.
Yeah. He made a play and I was like, wait, who's that?
So, yeah, I didn't even know he made a play.
Yeah.
So but again, like, the issue is not the talent. The issue becomes the durability. So yeah. I'm happy he had a game. It could have been an even bigger one. He let up on Burrow on.
I don't even think he let up. I think he thought the ball came out.
I think he was being a little cautious. It's tough to tell. Either way, he didn't get the sack.
Because I looked at the Burrow play, when he swiped at the ball, he turned around as if he thought the ball was on the floor.
Oh, all right, maybe.
Yeah, I looked at the play because everyone's like, because Chris Collins was like, oh, he's let up. And I was like, I don't know if he let up. I think he actually thought he took that ball out of Burrow's hands because he turned around. And either way, I think he should have just gone for the sack. But yeah. I mean.
And then Burrow destroyed him in the second half. There was one where Burrow just like froze him and just went inside. Still, he had a great game. Burns had a great game. Dex had a pressure and a sack. Strong showing. I think it was Micah McFadden who caused that fumble at the end. Another really strong game from the linebackers. Banks, again, just like really good coverage. He had a couple passes that I was sort of shocked were completed, but that seems to be the usual with him. And outside of that, dude, defense let up 10 points. Like, forget about the garbage time. Like, they let up 10 points against.
Yeah.
One of the best offenses and statistically the best quarterback in the league. Like, I can't
for
be
58,
mad.
For 58 minutes, the Bengals were held to
10
points. So
they were tremendous. So I can't complain. All right. What do you want to talk about next?
Nothing else. I think we, you know, hit on everything.
Some questions.
Sure.
See, let's see. These are probably terrible. Wait. Let's go to my Twitter. Oh my God. 26 comments. Cam Ward question mark. No. Oh yeah, man. In which week will Dable bench Jones?
I don't know. I think they're just going to ride this thing out. I think they, you know, he keeps taking these hits, and I just think it's a matter of time. I mean, lowering your shoulder into a linebacker is, I mean, I've seen this movie before, man. It's going to eventually get hurt. So
yeah,
I don't know.
By the way, it's very, very funny. It is so obvious on the TV when he is going to sneak.
Yes.
It's just like he leans so far. It's not even like someone pointed out that he slaps JMS.
Everything
like
is slow. Cheek.
It's like, yeah, it's just, it's
everything
it's
is so slow. Obvious. Yeah. The hits keep, I don't know. I don't know how long they'll play him, but
the fact that this is Jared. He's a Jets fan. He said, can the Giants trade Dable for Aaron Rodgers?
No.
No. Although I did briefly have the thought about Aaron Rodgers as the Giants quarterback next year. Don't kill me. It's just it crossed my mind. That's it. And it left. And then it left. It's not there anymore.
For me, it was Joe Burrow. Just watching Joe Burrow and thinking to me, even though I didn't think he played well, but that third down play where he rolled out, extended the play. That was a tough throw, man. Yeah, that's a tough throw because the receiver was very close to the sideline. That's that need a quarterback like that.
Yeah,
I know. It's tough to find, but
from Breck. Realistically, how do we find the franchise guy?
A lot of prayers.
Yeah, man. If it was easy, everyone would do it. Yeah. I don't know. I don't have the answer. Pray,
luck.
Pray that everything goes downhill for the Bills. I'll say that.
There's so many things you can pray for. I mean, if you...
Does Haley Steinfeld prefer New York City to Buffalo?
Yeah. Does Joe Burrow get pissed off enough at the Bengals
organization? Who's Joe Burrow dating? Is he dating anyone?
I don't know, but their owner is a cheapo. Maybe he doesn't pay Jamar Chase. Doesn't look like he's going to pay T. Higgins. Yeah. You know, the offensive line is not necessarily getting better. I mean, you hope maybe in the draft, you know, they while everyone's saying everybody sucks, maybe somebody doesn't suck. I don't know. There's no exact formula here. I wish I could tell you this is the 5-step plan. But there isn't exactly a plan to find a franchise quarterback.
Yeah. What are you rooting for after this? Top 10 pick, deadline trades, hope Daniel Jones doesn't get hurt. I'll tell you what, man, I'm rooting for wins.
Yeah, I'm with you, man.
I want guys to get better. I want this situation to be ideal for anyone that may want to come here. I think that it would take some real egregious shit for Dable and Shane to get fired. I don't think they're going to get fired, but I don't even want it to be closer consideration. I'm rooting for wins. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but I really hate this draft class. Like, there's no one worth tanking for like there was last year.
Yeah, I'm sort of with you. I want them to win. I think they're going to win. I think they're going to continue to be competitive in games. And I think they're
too well coached and their defense is too good.
The glaring weaknesses, I think, are showing. But look, realistically speaking, this season has pretty much gone like after, what is it? Week five, this is week six. I sort of had them 3-3, 2-4. So, I'm not really, you know, surprised by any of this. The way they got here, I'm surprised by it. And sort of the, how better the roster is than I really thought at the beginning of the season. So I think it's going to continue to play out like this, where you have games like this and you have close games and you're going to win some that people think you're going to lose and you're going to lose some that people think you're going to win. And at the end of the day, I think we're sitting at the end of the season. It's a 6-7, maybe 8-win team. Although 6-7 feels a lot more comfortable.
I think we'll be at 7 or 8, but
yeah.
I guess let's see what else was there. Really wasn't too many actually good questions, but it's not really a question, but do you think they start Locke at any point? I don't think so.
I mean, if they,
I think it would take an injury.
Yeah, yeah, an injury. But at some point, if they get mathematically eliminated, and I think the quarterback play isn't sufficient enough, then possibly I think with the contract and all that. But look, man, I'm not trying to say this because I'm rooting for this, but the guy continues to take hits. He suffered multiple neck injuries. He suffered a knee injury. He hasn't exactly been healthy throughout his career outside of one season. I mean, the writing is on the wall with how this thing plays out if he continues to take the hit, the amount of hits that he's taking. So just look at the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
When he's run, he puts his shoulder down into a linebacker. Okay. That's how you're gonna injure your neck. He continues to take weird angles when he runs toward the sideline. You can potentially get hit low or tackled awkwardly, and that could, you know, a knee injury. So do they bench him? Does he get hurt? I don't know, but I have a tough time seeing him finishing the season as a Giants starting quarterback.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm about done. You have any other thoughts?
No, I don't. But I do want to know who do you think the favorite is right now in the NFC and the AFC?
In the NFC, it's the Lions.
Yeah, although they're losing Hutchinson today is.
Yeah, but again, like, not like an easy position to overcome. I just think that there's such an offensive juggernaut that
there's a psychological impact there. I think.
I don't know, man. He left that game and they still just ran it up.
Yeah, they had that game in the first quarter. I think Hutchinson. So it's so important. He's so.
I mean, who do you see as competitive against them?
I really like Green Bay. I picked them to go to the Super Bowl. I
don't know if Love's good enough.
I think he is good enough. I think the big thing with them is,
I think they definitely are well coached enough.
I think if there's ever a year right now for a team in the NFC to kind of put their chips to the middle of the table, sort of like the Rams did a few years ago, I think this is the year. Whether you're Detroit, whether you're Green Bay, whether you're Commanders, I mean, they're 4-2. Max Crosby going to Detroit is something that I would really, really be rooting for right now.
That could be interesting. I haven't considered that. That would be cool.
Yeah.
The AFC? Dude, the AFC sucks. really sucks.
There's two teams, I think, at the top. And I think
the Ravens.
Yes.
Okay. And the Texans.
I'm not ready to put the Texans there. I would say the Ravens and the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs.
Dude, I don't know, man. I've watched way more Chiefs football than I care to admit this year because I started off with Mahomes as my quarterback. I had Pacheco. Yeah, they're always in prime time. Dude, they've won all their games by like a margin of like 10 total points. Like they haven't been impressive. Like, I understand that when the time comes, like they're going to unleash Mahomes. They're going to unleash some stuff. They haven't been running, but like they lose Rashee Rice for the season. Like, is Kelce going to hold up in his old age? Like, the defense is fine, but I don't know. I don't think it's their year, man. I think it's the Ravens or the Texans, and the AFC South blows. So I think the Texans are going to run away with that division. And then once they get in, we'll see. I mean, they'll have Nico Collins back. So
yeah.
And Will Anderson's a freaking beast. Three sacks today.
Yeah. I like Baltimore. I think when you watch the game was close with the Commanders today, but it really wasn't. Like, at no point
did
Baltimore was going to lose that game. We talk about quarterback receiver duos. This is the best duo in the NFL right now. Jackson and Henry, what they're able to do, running the ball. It's a fun watch, man. I don't know how many Ravens game you watched locally. They're always on here and they're always talking about them, but it's a fun duo. So
do you know who's atrocious and just like not at all fun to watch?
Pittsburgh?
No. Although that's like a more obvious answer.
Denver?
No, dude, the Cardinals.
Really?
Dude, they suck. Like, they're really bad. Like, I thought that this would be a team that would be they might be bad, but they would at least be fun. Like, I thought that offense would put up a million points a game, but their defense would give up a million points a game. They just suck.
Kyler Murray, possibly.
Dude, I don't think Debo would want a quarterback like that.
Want a quarterback shorter than him?
Yeah, exactly. He likes his big boys.
Yeah, he does. That didn't sound right, but yeah, I'm going to tap myself on the back a little bit. I've had my finger on the pulse when it comes to fraud teams in the NFL this year.
Yeah.
I nailed Seattle last week. Mm-hmm. This week I nailed somebody. I'm drawing blanks. Holy crap. Now you're going to think I'm lying. Last week, Pittsburgh. Everyone was picking Dallas. Everyone was picking Pittsburgh to win that game. Pittsburgh is a fraud.
They are.
Yes. Those two teams, a lot of people were talking very, and New Orleans. I never bought into New Orleans too. After the first 2 weeks. And I'm gonna name another team right now, and people are gonna be like,
nah, that's lovely. Andrew Thomas needs to get an MRI on his foot.
Yeah, no sense this early on the nature of the injury.
All right. I'm gonna run one final scenario by you before we wrap up.
Okay.
I don't know how the money would work. But the Rams are 1-4 right now.
Yeah.
Matthew Stafford bridge.
I think Matthew Stafford's too good to be a bridge quarterback. He's not going to get you to your next.
But he's old, bro. He's going to be 30. Bro, he's going to be 37 next year.
He is, but I think if he's your quarterback, I think he's good enough to put you in at least in the hunt, right? Especially if you have a roster.
Oh yeah, I mean that's what you're looking for. Like if you have him for 1 to 2 years, it's high.
Yeah,
that's the problem. Like 50, I don't know how you make it work.
It's not necessarily high. It's $53 million over the next 2 years each. I don't know. I don't think that's a pathway. I think realistically speaking, there's three guys right now that you look at and you could say, okay, unlikely, but there's a pathway where I could see them getting disgruntled. At the top for me is Joe Burrow. It was Joe Burrow, sure, at the beginning of the year. I just think that if this season spirals out of control and they go into the offseason and there's another situation with Jamar Chase where he doesn't get his money and T. Higgins leaves and obviously the offensive line hasn't gone better, they fire their coach, I could potentially see a situation where Joe Burrow says, hey, this is not working. I'm getting injured too much. There could be some. We saw with Carson Palmer. Same owner, too. The second is Josh Allen. That one, the reason why it's number two is because I think Josh Allen really, really loves Buffalo, and I think they will keep him in the loops on all decisions that they've done.
Probably.
Opposite of Joe Burrow, where I think that owner, his issue will be with ownership, whereas the other side, ownership would be heavily invested in making sure Josh Allen is happy. And then the third is a guy you just mentioned, the Arizona Cardinals. That situation spirals out of control, like I think it will. Obviously, his attitude, the personality doesn't match a lot of people. That GM didn't draft him. That could be a scenario where they blow it up. But the problem is, Ethan, is when you start saying, well, this team could do this, the draft is not littered with potential franchise quarterbacks where a team like
Arizona draft sucks.
Well, could say, you know what, I'm willing to move off a guy if, you know, because there's this guy in the draft.
That's what I like. Could you see a scenario? I'm spitballing here.
Yes.
Where the Rams, they're 1-4. Like Puka's still out. I know Cup's coming back soon, but like, you don't see any scenario where it's like, Matt, you're at the end of your career. We're not going to be competitive this year. We're probably not going to be competitive next year. Like, do you want to, like, we'll orchestrate some sort of Daniel Jones, Matt Stafford swap
in the off season?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, potentially, sure. But for me, what is a 30? What is he going to be? 36?
36, dude. I'm telling you, it's the Jets playbook, except the Giants have a far superior coaching staff. not as superior of a defense, although it's certainly not terrible.
He'll be 37.
You got Malik Nabers. You got like
New York City. Yeah.
Okay. Whatever. So you have him for his for his 37 and 38 year old season.
Yes.
And after that.
Yeah, I think what you're saying makes sense. And obviously the comparison to the Aaron Rodgers Jets thing, I understand what you're saying. And the Jets comparison with Rodgers makes sense. I just don't think that this regime can afford another. I don't know how many more opportunities they'll get. I think they'll get one more.
I agree with you. If it doesn't work, then they're toast.
Yeah. And I don't think you want to do that. So my best bet is, here's what I'm hoping for. You ready? You, at the end of the year, obviously make the decision on Jones, but then you then use a second or a third round pick on a developmental quarterback. I think that's, they have to do that. And again, we're still in October. And then, yeah, I mean, Matt Stafford said, you know, the Rams part ways and you bring him in. There's a scenario like that that could play too. But for me, I just think if there's going to be another quarterback here, it's going to be a guy that's 1 year deal, you know, a real bridge, low expectations, plus a guy you take in the middle rounds. And
maybe that's maybe, that. But also like, again, now we're just talking about fairy tale scenarios.
Stafford's got juice. Stafford has juice, man. I think Stafford.
Absolutely. But I'm saying you orchestrate the Jones for Stafford swap. And then, you know, Eli works for the team. You just, you get him and Archie together and you get the man and cabal together and you orchestrate forcing his way to New York.
If you trade for Matthew Stafford, let's play the scenario. You trade for Matthew Stafford. I think that immediately makes the Giants, right? Let's say they improve their rosters, stays the same, whatever, right? Again, we don't know what the future is going to hold. That on paper puts the Giants, I think, right at the fringe of the playoffs. Maybe
I think that makes them the NFC East favorites next year.
Okay, fine. That helps my point even more. Now, let me ask you this. If that makes them the NFC East favorites, and now we're in 2025, explain to me how the NFC East favorites are going to draft or be in position to draft the potential number one overall pick in the 2020
very, very easily, very because easily.
When I refuse
to play for any team that's not the team. New York Giants with like, Uncle Eli.
Time out. Not any team. About half the league.
Correct.
Because remember, you have so then in this scenario, somehow, some way, the Giants go from pick 19 in 2026 or 18, whatever.
Come on, maybe they're picking 32nd.
Not to 2 or 3 or 6 or 7.
Number one. Yeah.
And oh, by the way, the team that's picking number one, John Mayer must have bought that team too, right? Because I mean, I don't see a team that'll be wanting to.
Whatever, bro. He's going to be 80. Maybe he wants to buy a second team. Whatever. All I'm saying is that at least the Matthew Stafford portion of my hypothetical is not
crazy. Makes sense. No, it makes sense. It makes sense.
Obviously. But I understand where you're coming from, where if it doesn't work out, then what do you do with Shane and Dable? And also, what's your succession plan? I get it. I'm not saying it's a flawless plan. I understand.
Realistically speaking, if we're going to combine your plan and my plan, you make a trade for Matthew Stafford. And then in the second or third round, wherever that may be, you draft the developmental quarterback.
Dude, who's to say that they don't pull like a Falcons and get Stafford and then draft Jalen Milroe in the first round?
Oh, that would be horrible.
Just saying. Crazier things have happened.
If you're drafting Stafford with how good I think the roster is, this is
it. I mean, listen, I wouldn't do that.
No, but
maybe. I think Milroe's cheeks. I think every quarterback in this draft fucking blows.
I don't want to make this about the draft, but I do like Jalen Milroe a lot more than any of the other quarterbacks in this draft class. Let me ask you a question. Right now, as we sit here today, looking at all the teams, how many first round pick quarterbacks are there in the draft? There's at least two for me.
That's like a tough question because like, are we comparing this to last year's class or just like how many are going in the first round? Like, are you asking me to say how many do I think are legitimate first round talents or how many are going to go because the class sucks?
No, how many do you think will go in the first round? I think two.
Cam Ward.
Locked.
Then no, Cam Ward.
Cam Ward is going to the first one.
I think he will.
I think it's Shedeur Sanders and I think it's Carson Beck or two first round quarterbacks.
Carson Beck's not going in the first round.
You don't think so?
No. That's like drafting Bo Nix. Like, yeah, he did. I think that's like a once in a gazillion year fuck up.
I like Shedeur Sanders a lot.
I do too, dude. His personality him and his dad. Yeah, I think we've had this conversation before. His dad is like if LeVar Ball was actually toxic.
Yeah. I like Coach Dion. I like watching Colorado. They're a fun team to watch, man. Especially these 10:30 games where you're fucking like up till 2 a.m.
Yeah, I get it. But also, like, I don't know. I was having this conversation with someone. Like, him talking shit to the Colorado State quarterback, I thought that was so lame. Like, I understand the guy was talking shit, but, like, bro, you're Shedeur Sanders.
Yes. I agree. I think as a quarterback, your team, the quarterback's always the face of your franchise.
I think he's probably, talent perspective, he's the most talented in the class.
And I think he's going to be a Raider.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
I think he's going to be a Raider.
Especially because if he doesn't work out, it's just like a very easy way to get rid of Antonio.
If I put the over-under with quarterbacks going in the first round at 2.5, are you taking the over?
We'll be back, unless I'm sick. But we'll be back. Talk to you all soon.
Peace.